Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me today. As we celebrate Independence Day, I want to take a moment to honor the memory of Dr. Paul LaViolette, a brilliant scientist and a cherished guest on the Veritas Project. It was with great sadness that I recently discovered Dr. LaViolette passed away in December of 2022. Paul and I had a unique connection. We would correspond from time to time, and I had the pleasure of meeting him in person when I convinced him to attend a conference with me. His groundbreaking work in anti-gravity propulsion and the galactic superwave theory continues to influence and inspire many. With recent discussions about solar flares and a potential new Carrington event, I tried to reconnect with him, only to find out about his passing when I visited his website. To honor Dr. LaViolette's contributions to science and his courage in speaking the truth, we are re-releasing our first and most popular interview as an encore today. This interview holds a special place in my heart. It was one of my earliest interviews, and despite the frequent disconnections, Paul kept his sense of humor, saying, "I hope they're learning something." As we revisit this enlightening conversation, I hope it serves as a reminder of Paul's legacy and the importance of his work. Enjoy this special encore presentation and have a wonderful Independence Day here in the USA. I'll be back with you with a new program next week.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
Our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us?
Exopolitics, paranormal phenomena, and deep analysis of current world events. From somewhere in the desert, between Area 51 and Roswell, blasting across the planet, the Manticore Network proudly presents Veritas. Because the truth will set you free.
Headline edition, July 8, 1947. The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
It was too fast to be an airplane.
Be skeptical. Do be as skeptical as you want, but by all, don't close your mind.
Greetings to everyone around the world, and a warm welcome to another edition of the Veritas Show, where we bring you disclosure, one guest at a time. And I sincerely thank you for joining me once again. And if this is your first time, make yourself at home. First, I want to welcome and thank our new and existing Veritas members. You are keeping Veritas alive. Tonight's show is probably one of the most revealing and challenging shows I have ever done. In the past few days, you have heard of what happened during my interview with tonight's special guest, Dr. Paul LaViolette. The skeptics out there will attribute what you will hear tonight, as it relates to being disconnected 24 times, as technical difficulties. Maybe. The same skeptics will say that 23 minutes lost from Dr. Paul LaViolette's voice was a glitch in the system. And also, the fact that Dr. LaViolette, for the first time, had a credit card number stolen the day after our interview and was used for purchases in multiple states. Yes, identity theft happens. But when you have this confluence of events take place in a span of 24 hours, you must step back and analyze the possibilities. Dr. LaViolette is a scientist with a conscience who refused to work in black projects because his passion is for the truth and for helping humanity. Even though we experienced all of this, we were able to produce a three-hour show for you. Even Dr. LaViolette's voice, which was removed from the last segment, we were able to continue our interview the next day in order to complete the show. We are all privileged to be able to listen to this show tonight, not because we persevered, but because Dr. Laviolette wanted this information out, as opposed to other shows I've done in which I decided to change direction and not repeat questions prior to being disconnected. I asked every question again and decided to explore the topics even more every time we got cut off. In my opinion, this is already a classic show. Find out what the powers that be don't want you to know about. Dr. Paul Laviolette, author of many books, and his latest one, Secrets of Anti-Gravity Propulsion, will be with us shortly. As a consequence of our experience, which is a new lesson, I decided to change direction and not share the upcoming guest list until I deem it appropriate. That is why I'm not going to announce next week's guest. You can always visit our website, veritasshow.com, for more information.
This is Richard Dolan, and you are listening to The Veritas Show.
Dr. Paul Laviolette is best described as a maverick astrophysicist, a scientist with a conscience. He has some important theories that may possibly be of some impact to people on our planet at this time. He's interested in helping humanity and finding the truth. That is our kind of guest. He currently lives in Greece, but is presently in New York for a few days. And I'm honored to have with us tonight our special guest, Dr. Paul Laviolette. Hello, Dr. Laviolette, and welcome to the Veritas Show. How are you?
Fine. Glad to be here.
My pleasure. Doctor, there is so much material available about your stellar work that I must tell the audience it may be very challenging for me to encapsulate some of your great work in one episode. However, I promise I will try my best, and as usual, I want to get to the point right away. Doctor, why don't you give us a bit of a background of yourself?
Studied physics at Johns Hopkins and got an MBA, and then did my PhD in systems science at Portland State University. I'd been interested in space propulsion ever since I was a kid, I guess. In fact, I used to launch skyrockets from my backyard. I had a hobby of making gunpowder, which can be very dangerous. Anyway, don't recommend.
I think you almost had an accident doing that, I heard.
Yeah. Fortunately, the rocket rose a foot before it exploded, and at that time it was inside a concrete block, which blew the block apart. So I just got hit with concrete dust rather than shrapnel.
Right. When there's a special topic, it takes me a long time to find the right guest. So many people have asked me for an anti-gravity show, and I think you are the right person to discuss it. Your most recent book is entitled Secrets of Anti-Gravity Propulsion. Tesla, one of our favorite names, by the way, UFOs, and classified aerospace technology. You almost summarized, Doctor, a large portion of the goals of this show with the title of your book, and I must begin with this question. Standard physics and Einstein's general theory of relativity say that it's impossible to control gravity. Could academia perhaps be wrong? Is it possible to defy gravity?
Yeah, in fact, there's various technologies. It's just there's not one particular way to do it. And in my book, I describe a number of these. With Einstein's theory, it's based on the idea that a planet warps space around it, and because space-time is warped, that causes a force to pull other planets or bodies or to pull us towards the Earth. With the theory that I've, an alternate theory I've developed, which fits better with experiments, these experiments I'm referring to are work done by Townsend Brown. Brown found a connection between electricity and gravitation. In other words, you can generate gravitational effects through high voltage electricity charges. With this, it suggests that gravity is bipolar, not unipolar. Like in general relativity, you only get attractive forces. But you find it in fact, in nature, you have a possibility of repulsive forces as well. So just like you have plus and minus charges, you also have plus and minus gravity potentials. So just like the Earth creates a gravity well, you know, they refer to us having a gravity well. There they're referring to idea of potential. You can think of it like a valley with the Earth located at its center. It's also possible to create a gravity hill, so higher potential instead of lower potential. So this is a revolutionary concept. It's outside the framework of academic science. Unfortunately, science tends to get ossified and dogmatic and not open to anything that challenges its particular viewpoint. Even though their viewpoint might be wrong, they stick to it.
Do you see this in academia? And I know there's an aerospace engineering field called electrogravitics, and as you well mentioned, the American inventor Thomas Townsend Brown was one of the first who discovered that there was a connection between electricity and gravity. Do we discuss this a lot in academia, or do they fear of the removal of funding because this, I don't want to call it esoteric because it's not. Is it being discussed today at major universities?
I think that there probably are a few university programs where the professors happen to have an interest in it, and they could probably mention it in class. I would say more so than was the case 15 years ago. Everyone's exposed to the internet, and students are going to bring it up anyway if the professor doesn't, and there probably is some class discussion. I'm just guessing. You know, I haven't been in school for many, many years, decades. But I would find it hard to believe that there isn't some level of discussion. However, you don't see any, for example, programs in electrogravitics at any university. For example, it should be a required course in any university program giving a degree in aerospace technology. You know, we have universities across the country and in other countries around the world that graduate students in aerospace technology. And basically, the students are taught aerodynamics and maybe rocketry, how a jet engine functions. This is stuff of the past. You know, they're basically training people for what we have already developed and is basically outmoded.
Right.
What they should be training people for is something that's going to improve our life, you know. And they aren't. So they're sort of negligent in their approach, unfortunately.
How did Thomas Townsend Brown, how did he discover this and when?
Brown began when he was a boy, actually. He was experimenting with a vacuum tube and found it was a X-ray tube. He found it would move when he turned on the power, and that kind of intrigued him, and he started investigating this. And in high school, he was building these capacitors, which he hung from the ceiling, and he charged them up to like 50,000 or 100,000 volts and find that they would swing towards the positive pole. And so he theorized that there was a connection between electricity and gravitation. In fact, he published a paper in 1929. So at that time, he was 24 years old, I believe. He was born in 1905. Either 1929 or 1927. I think he had a patent. He actually took a patent out in 27 or 28. I forget the exact date. But way back then, the phenomenon had been discovered, and he stuck with it through the years. That was his main occupation, was investigating this electrogravitic effect. In fact, he got the military interested at some point.
Did he end up like Tesla, where a lot of his discoveries were put away somewhere?
I would say the work he did, at some point it became classified. You know, for example, he gave a demonstration of his flying discs at Pearl Harbor. His
Right.
It was like his second or third demonstration to the Navy. He had, by that time, and it was around the 54, 55, he had improved his discs to the point where he could get them to go several hundred miles per hour around a 50-foot radius or 50-foot diameter course. He had hung these 3-foot diameter discs in a maypole fashion, like a merry-go-round. So he had one on each side, and these things would fly like model airplanes around the gymnasium. This was in the gymnasium at Pearl Harbor. It was attended by several high-ranking military generals or whatever. And they were so impressed that they classified the results. So the several hundred mile per hour figure we hear is something rumor that was published in a Swiss aeronautical journal. But at that point, well, around during the 50s, you had a lot of aerospace companies getting involved in electrovitics, and it didn't keep it that much of a secret. I mean, you'd read about it even in the Herald Tribune, in other magazines, product engineering, magazines like that. But in around 59, the whole subject went black. It was like
Roswell, just like Roswell.
Nobody printed anything anymore on the subject.
Now, you took this to the next level. You actually developed a physics theory called subquantum kinetics that predicts the electrogravitic effect. Would you tell us a bit about this, and what are some of its unique characteristics and advantages?
Yeah, the theory I developed actually preceded my discovery of electrogravitics or of Townsend Brown's work. It grew out of systems theory. I got a PhD in system science, a field called general system theory, which is basically trying to look at nature in terms of systems and what are the properties of systems and what do different types of systems have in common, like a living organism is a system, biological system, a society is a system. And you find, for example, there's similarities between social systems and biological systems. So what I did new was to take these general principles and apply them to physics. Nobody had done that before. You know, they had, for example, system theory had made inroads into psychology, sociology, business administration. It completely revised the way businesses are conceived. But nobody had brought it into physics, into, for example, come up with a new field theory. How does matter come into being? What's the nature of light, energy? I had an insight one night when I was in business school, a flash of intuition, and conceived subquantum kinetics in its original form. It took me several years to sort of bring it from its first conception into something that was more or less rigorous. And the theory now has been around over 30 years. And I have made with the theory predictions, which have been published, about what you'd expect to find. And they were predictions that were deviating substantially from what current physics or astronomy would predict. And so far I've had 12 predictions that were verified. And whereas in the beginning, you know, just like anything, it's something new, you're not sure is it correct or not. All you know is it seems like it allows a more unified approach to everything. But as you see these predictions one after another becoming verified, then you begin to realize, well, this must be it. You know, I believe at this point it's the next step forward for humanity to go from the current physics and worldview we have to subquantum kinetics. And when...
thank you for listening. To unlock the full 2-hour interview, including video formats, downloads, transcripts, exclusive articles, and more, subscribe to Veritas Plus now. Gain access to our entire archive dating back to 2008. Just click subscribe at veritasproject.com. To listen to the rest and access all of our exclusive material, head over to the Veritas Plus member section or click the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the benefits with a 15-day free trial of FLFE today. No credit card required. If you'd like to get in touch with me, be a guest on the program, have a guest suggestion, or want to provide feedback, just click the contact button on our website at veritasproject.com. Thank you for listening to The Veritas Project, because you don't want to believe, you want to know. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now at veritasproject.com.